May it please the Court. Good morning. My name is Thomas Brandstrader. I was appointed to represent Mr. Johnson in both the District Court and this Honorable Court. Mr. Johnson pled guilty to a failure to register offense stemming from a conviction in Nebraska for which he was required to do so. He was arrested here in Illinois. Attorney was appointed for him. He came to the court. He pled guilty. At sentencing, he was informed and the government moved and the court agreed that his base offense level should be increased by 6 levels based on the allegation of a sexual offense while he was in registration fugitive status. That allegation stemmed from a contact with a Susan Wiggins, who was the mother of 4 of Brian Johnson's 11 children. It occurred on April 22nd. Ms. Wiggins alleged that initially that Mr. Johnson raped her. She called the Chicago police after speaking to her mother. She was taken to a hospital, then to the police station. No criminal charges were filed. She talked to a state's attorney. No felony review file was generated. And after Mr. Johnson was arrested for the failure to register, the government moved based on that allegation or that incident to increase his sentence 6 levels. Mr. Johnson objected. We understand and we acknowledge the great discretion that the district court has accepting evidence on enhancement issues. We've asked this court, and a clear reading of this transcript renders Susan Wiggins' testimony unreliable, inconsistent, and basically incomprehensible. Attached to a sentencing memo, Mr. Johnson had an affidavit from Ms. Wiggins recanting this allegation. At sentencing, Ms. Wiggins appeared. Government did not call her.
Well, we read the briefs.
Our position today with this honorable court is that a clear reading of this transcript does not support the enhancement. Even on the day of sentencing, Ms. Wiggins showed up. Court acknowledged her presence, and the government took her out into the hallway to discuss what she wanted to say. The transcript is clear that the government came back in and said, Judge, Ms. Wiggins has told us an inconsistent story. Now no longer rape, it's Mr. Johnson forced her to have oral sex. Ms. Wiggins was sworn under oath by the court and proceeded to tell the court 3 different ways that she recanted the statement, that she lied on Mr. Johnson, she lied because she was jealous, she lied because she was mad. He had taken her to a place where he said it was his cousin's. Turns out it was the apartment of the mother of several other of his children, and Susan Wiggins got mad.
He may have been the busiest man in town when you think about it.
I'm sorry, Judge.
Apart from his pedophilia, he was probably the busiest man in town.
I would agree, Judge.
I don't envy your position, but I'm just
He has had a difficult time in his life dealing with anger, dealing with women, and dealing with the criminal justice system.
Sure did.
But nevertheless, just putting aside for a second his lengthy criminal background, this enhancement was not based on reliable evidence. Ms. Wiggins recanted it. Ms. Wiggins came into the courtroom, told the government a different story just prior to testifying, and when she got on the stand and was questioned by the court, again denied it. Again said she was mad, she was jealous.
She did say, however, even then, that he forced himself on her for oral sex.
Well, she said that, Judge, and the government asked her to repeat that, and if you read the transcript, she doesn't say physical force. She basically says, I didn't want to do it there because of where I was. I was mad at him for taking me to his other girlfriend's house.
Is that how you interpret it, or did she say that in hoc verba, as we say in the law business?
Well, I think she said it in different places about her being so mad.
Yeah, she's mad.
It wasn't physical force. And when the government asked her point blank, she didn't say, yes, he forced me to have oral sex. She goes, yes, I said that in the past. She didn't agree to it. She just said, yes, in the past, I said that.
Yes, you stated that because he did, in fact, force oral sex upon you, she answers, yes, I did that. I mean, he didn't really use force on me, but he did force on me, and he didn't use any force, like physical force. That's the section you're saying is confusing.
Yes, Judge. Of course, that's a statement, or that's a situation that just came up that morning. Up until that morning, we were ready to address this accusation of rape on April 22nd.
Yeah.
But as the transcript reads, Mr. Ebert brings her back in the courtroom and says, well, she's told us something different now. It's inconsistent with what she said on a prior occasion. Nevertheless, they make the argument that it still qualifies that Mr. Johnson should get this enhancement.
The only reason she's there is to take back everything she said, right?
I'm sorry, Judge.
I mean, nobody subpoenaed her, right? To the sentencing hearing, as I understand it?
We did not call her. The government did not call her. The court called her on
Right, but the only reason she's there in the courtroom is because she wants to tell the judge that she wants to recant the accusation that she initially made.
Yes, Judge. She wanted to.
Because
the father
had
four
called
her
from the jail to say, you better recant, otherwise you're going to have all kinds of trouble.
Again, Judge, my tortured listening to those conversations, putting aside the fact that it manifested the relationship between two pretty dysfunctional people. I never heard Mr. Johnson say in those phone conferences, you got to recant. He did say, stop lying on me.
It's a clear threat. There's no question about it. So I wouldn't argue an alternative interpretation if I were you. It's a clear threat to her to take back what she reported initially.
Exactly. Stop lying on me.
Right. Right. So he needed her to take back the initial accusation in order to remove it from the sentencing equation. So she shows up in court voluntarily for that purpose. Nobody wants to call her, but the judge wants to hear from her, which is...
Well, the famous saying is, judge, never call or ask a witness a question you don't know the answer to.
Exactly.
And with Susan Wiggins, that was why they made the rule. Well, that's why we have the rule.
And then here's the other thing. The probation office didn't recommend the six-level enhancement.
They did not, Judge. They found that the statements had been recanted. The probation officer talked about the letters, talking about prior sexual escapades, future sexual escapades. They looked at the fact that the Chicago police and the state's attorney of Cook County did not believe this allegation and therefore did not charge Mr. Johnson with any criminal offenses. And one thing I would ask to note, on several, at least three occasions, Ms. Wiggins made mention of the fact that she was worried about her lying and what it was going to mean to her, not to Brian, but to her. She'd never been to jail, didn't want to go to jail, and she was worried that the fact that she got...
She showed extraordinary good sense in that position. Probably the most good sense she showed, she didn't want to go to jail.
She didn't want to go to jail for lying.
I agree.
If this enhancement is removed, what's the range?
Well, I've had to think of that question. The answer to that question, seriously, Judge, because of his prior criminal convictions, a significant sentence certainly could have been the answer, but the fact is, without this six-level enhancement, at least I'm starting at a lower level.
Well, what is the number? You don't know the number?
The maximum was 120, and that's what he got.
No, the number with not having the six levels.
He would. Well, our argument was we basically conceded the obstruction 2 points, but our argument would have been around 18. Government gets to 24. I think probation was at 22 without the six-level enhancement.
So if it had been your number, 18, what would the sentence have been?
I believe it was 55 to 71.
So the sentencing guidelines strike again. So.
Except, yes. Of course, the judge could give him the maximum anyway, which...
The statutory maximum was 120 months.
Right.
The court did not do it based on it. I guess they could have said, as we know, this court has said, a defendant's background can sometimes come back to really haunt him.
Well, that's what I mean. Is this an exercise in futility? He's going to get the same sentence anyway.
I can't deny the court could have found the 120 months, take away the six-level enhancement, but he didn't. He acknowledged the six-level enhancement and gave it to him.
You're in your rebuttal. Do you want to say that last one?
I have nothing further at this time.
All right. You may proceed, counsel. Mr. Ebert.
Good morning, if it may please the court. My name is Matthew Ebert, and I represent the United States. The government respectfully asks this court to affirm the sentence of the defendant. The district court correctly enhanced the defendant's sentence because the defendant, while in an unregistered sex offender status, committed yet another sexual offense, namely one against an adult female. Specifically, the sentencing court found that the defendant engaged in unwanted, non-consensual sexual contact with this woman, the victim, and that that conduct was tantamount to oral sex, which violated Illinois law, specifically criminal sexual assault. In so doing, the district court relied upon several forms of evidence. Certainly, a portion of that reliance was the under oath testimony from the victim at sentencing, but it was by no means
It was certainly problematic, don't you think?
Excuse me?
It was problematic, her testimony?
In which way, Your Honor?
Like that quote that I just read, counsel, where she said there was force, but there was really no force, and, you know.
Yes, Your Honor, in that particular phrase, it is not clear what the witness was driving at. However, the crux of the statements that she provided at sentencing and prior statements that are reflected in the Chicago Police Department report from the night at issue and subsequent statements that she made indicate that she is describing non-consensual sexual contact. Specifically, at a different phrase within sentencing, the defendant said, and this is at page 11 of the appendix of the government's brief, and this is in response to a direct question from the district court. She said, about the oral sex, defendant did do that. So I understand that the statements you just read from...
Right. She says, about the oral sex, he did do that, but he didn't, like, use physical force on me. So right. That's why I'm here to testify now, because I did lie when I spoke with them a couple months ago, which was last year. That was the rest of the statement, right?
Yes.
But he didn't, like, use physical force on me.
Yes, and that is correct that she made that statement. However, as pointed out to the sentencing court, the relevant definitions under the Illinois Code, which provide for use of force or threat of force, provide specific contemplations for what that means.
Well, this is non-forcible at all, mm-hmm. if you believe her testimony, which the judge said he did. So we don't have the use or threat of force. Now, maybe it's non-consent, which qualifies as a sex offense under some other subsection of the Illinois Criminal Code? I mean, or is that not a qualifying sex? I mean, in most states, non-consensual sex, even without force, is at least a misdemeanor.
Right. In this instance, there was in the record before the court statements that the victim had made that she felt that she was not free to leave.
What was the sex offense that the judge found was established to a preponderance?
It was oral sex inflicted upon.
I understand what act. What's the code violation, the criminal code violation?
The judge did not specify a code violation. The violation articulated by the government at sentencing.
Yeah. What one were you alleging?
Non-consensual. Wasn't that what you were relying on? Non-consensual sex?
Yes, of 720.
So what Judge Wood is trying to get to, and I'm concerned about as well, is where is the evidence that it was not, I mean, Judge Sykes, sorry. where is that in the record?
Well, the government also asked her, did you want him to do this to you? And she indicated no. Also in the record was a Chicago police report where she indicated that she was at a portion of a place that was not of her choosing. She was there against her will.
So to get back to Judge Sykes, my apologies, on the consensual, is there a violation of any Illinois law when two adults have consensual sex, non-consensual sex, but without force or threat of force?
Yes, and that's 720 ILCS 5/12-13A1, and that is the criminal sexual assault statute under the Illinois Code. And that makes it a felony, a Class 1 felony under Illinois law, and that's an act of sexual penetration by the use of force or the threat of force. And in turning to the definition of force, it provides
But let's stop there. It's by the use of force or the threat of force. That's the section you're citing. So we're asking, is there a section where the threat of force or use of force is not included?
If I may, in answering it, it cross-references a further definition of what force means, and it contemplates that it can be achieved through the use of superior strength or size, physical restraint, or physical confinement. And in several instances, the victim had provided statements to law enforcement that she was not free to leave.
But there's no reference to that by the court in making the finding. Is there Judge Norgal?
There is not with respect to the finding. The judge reached the conclusion, rather, that he had listened to, the district court had listened to her testimony closely and found that the defendant performed oral sex upon the victim against her will and without her consent.
So the finding was based on her testimony, which doesn't bear out a use of force even according to the definition that you've read. You're saying that finding is justified by statements she made to the police in the immediate aftermath of this incident?
Statements that she made the night in question, two additional statements that she made to a deputy U.S. Marshal.
Right, but she retracted all that from the stand, and the judge accepted her testimony and based his finding exclusively on what she said in court, or did the judge base it on all that other evidence as well?
On the other evidence as well, Your Honor.
How do we know that?
Because contained within the first report of this incident, which was April 22, 2012.
I want you to refer to something that the judge said that gives us some confidence that that's what he based his finding on.
Okay. Well, on pages 25 and 26 of the transcript, the court points out, quote, the issue of what happened on April 22nd becomes clear now that the court has heard the testimony of victim here in open court today. And in what the judge is referencing to just prior to that is that the court listened and heard transcripts of the victim and defendant discussing what happened on April 22nd. And so the reason why the court is saying it now becomes clear what happened is because it's heard that. And there is another point
where
the
transcript that you're
referring? So when you look at 25, though, he talks about how at line 4, page 25 in the transcript, at the back of the government's brief, says he belittles her, calls her names, insulting, demeaning, controlling language, and intolerable statements to his wife and mother. The inference to draw is that he's attempting to obstruct justice, to cause her to give a version of what happened and other times things that would be favorable to him. And so he definitely makes reference to obstruction of justice. And when she ultimately testified today is that she did not consent to oral sex. She made the statement under oath, and he says it was against her will without her consent, but there's no finding about force in there or threat of force.
Again, I would turn back to the definition that was supplied to the court at the outset of the hearing, which indicated that an aspect of consent and force can be derived from whether or not the victim is free to leave or is confined.
Well, consent and force are two different things in the law of sexual assault. And it's really important to be precise about that when you're proving these elements up. And it's unclear to me, and I'm still not clear, how you get to the judge made a finding about the victim feeling as though she was not free to leave because she was overpowered, etc. Now, you said from the podium that refers to what she reported to the police on the night of the incident, but apparently that's not what the judge was basing his ruling on. He was basing his ruling on the tape from the jail call when the defendant was threatening her, plus what she said in court. And that corroborates a non-consensual act of oral sex, or maybe is sufficient to support that conclusion to a preponderance. You'd never win in front of a jury beyond a reasonable doubt, but maybe by preponderance you're okay. But that's not, it doesn't meet the definition of the statutory subsection that you cited. And maybe there's another criminal violation that that would amount to, that conduct would amount to. I suspect that there is, but that wasn't apparently offered, or that wasn't the finding.
It is correct that the district court did not cite a specific statutory violation under Illinois law in reaching its finding.
If you're done, is just an aside. When the court asked the witness if she wanted to talk to an attorney first, she said yes. And yet her testimony continued. Why shouldn't the court have let her talk to an attorney? The defense counsel told the court that he thought the witness should talk to an attorney first. The government didn't say anything on that point. I mean, given this woman bouncing around and she's now under oath, the court recognized that we might be in a perjury situation, and yet there was no counsel appointed for her as she went forward. So is it the government's position the witness didn't need to talk to counsel before testifying, even though the government had already told the court after one of the recesses she was given a different story than she had previously told to law enforcement?
It's the government's position that the victim in that instance certainly had the opportunity to...
You mean you weren't going to prosecute her anyway? Why should she call a lawyer?
I'm sorry?
You weren't going to prosecute her anyway, so why talk about a lawyer? That's the position.
Well, I think the court was inquiring. The issue had been raised. She was a witness,
I wasn't worried about that.
Yeah.
I didn't suggest that the government should leap in and require her to have a lawyer.
Yeah.
She asked for one, and Judge Williams said, why didn't they give her one?
Yeah.
That's the question.
But the point is, nothing came of it anyway, so it doesn't make sense.
And that is correct. Nothing did come of it. And
right, but she was not told by the court, and the court in turn, the government would say, and of course, anything she says here, you're not going to prosecute her. I mean, he didn't get any kind of...
No, that was not indicated on the record. No.
Well, and just to clarify further, this was all sua sponte, right? Mm-hmm.
Correct. The court did this of its own accord.
The probation office didn't recommend this enhancement, and you effectively withdrew it when you said you didn't want to call her?
No, Your Honor, not effectively withdrew it.
Well, were you still pursuing it without her testimony?
Yes, Your Honor. We were endeavoring to elicit this evidence through the testimony of a deputy U.S. Marshal.
Okay.
At sentencing, and that was the government's intent.
Okay. But he didn't testify, because she showed up.
That is correct, Your Honor. Yes. And so, if there are no further questions, the government respectfully asks.
No further questions. You want to escape?
the government respectfully asks that the court affirm the defendant's sentence. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. How much time?
1 minute. Just one comment. The courts are focused on the issue of consent, lack of force, physical force. In a direct response to Mr. Ebert in the trial court, in the sentencing court, Mr. Ebert asked Susan Wiggins, you did not want him to perform oral sex upon you, is that correct? The answer from Ms. Wiggins, yes, that's correct. I didn't want him doing it because I was over at his kid's mother's house at the time. I did it at the time there. I didn't know. Even her attempt to agree with what she had told the government out in the hallway, she doesn't establish the fact that this was the father of four of her children. They had prior sex on a consensual basis, and they talked about having future sex on a consensual basis. There simply was no offense committed here by Brian Johnson. Thank you very much.
And you were appointed at both levels. We thank you, counsel, for your representation of your client. We thank the government, as always, for their fine representation of the government, and we'll stand in recess.